Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is Thursday, February 23rd of 2017.
The last Thursday in February.
That's right. Because it's a short month. It is the short month.
And that means when we get around to it, 1/6 of 2017 has hit the road. I'm somewhat depressed about that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so 1/6 of 2017 is almost over.
I know, you almost said 2016.
I did.
We're never going back there.
No.
Thank God.
You're listening to The Morning Show with Jack and Jim on 88.5 KRFY.
And the third voice.
You hear Dinah Walden.
Hello.
The executive director.
KRFY.
Of the Festival at Sandpoint.
Oh,
and
sorry.
We're going to be talking up a storm with Dino.
Everyone knows who you are anyway.
I don't know about that.
But we're going to do weather first.
Yes. Let me tell you about what's going on here in the atmosphere. Partly sunny today with a high near 36 degrees. Currently, as of my walk into the station, it was pretty foggy and chilly, a little frosty out there. North wind around 6 miles an hour, becoming calm in the afternoon. Patchy fog tonight after 10 p.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 20 and a calm wind tonight. Tomorrow there is a slight chance of snow showers and patchy fog with a high around 33 degrees. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, partly sunny heading into Saturday with a high around 34. And then snow is likely on Sunday, a 60% chance of snow on Sunday with a high near 33. So there you have it. New snow accumulation of around an inch is possible on Sunday. And, of course, from what I hear, the people I was talking to last night say that snow is over and is never coming again.
Well, you can ask the robins in our backyard. Ooh. The mountain ash trees have had a flurry of activity with these really fat robins coming in and inhaling the berries that have hung on the tree over the winter.
Wow. Are those the ones where they eat them and they get drunk, the birds?
I was just going to wonder about that.
I've seen that happen. They fall off fences and stuff.
Oh, not our robins. but no, I'm sort of impressed by how they just gobble them down by the mouthful. And I'm thinking, these berries have been sitting on the tree.
Yeah, they're fermented.
All winter. Fermenting, aging, but maybe robins. But I don't see any other bird doing that, just robins.
Interesting.
So I don't know. I see other birds gathering around our suet, flickers and woodpeckers and things like that. But and I was also wondering, we need to get Rich Del Carlo back in here again. Are there any other birds besides robins that eat worms? You know, the proverbial seeing a worm being pulled out of the ground. It's a robin.
It is always a robin.
It's always a robin. Why? Is that true? Okay. Are they the only carnivores?
Rich Del Carlo, we need you right now.
Yeah.
He is our...
It's nice of you to put suet out, though, Jim.
Oh, absolutely. And it has berries.
That's very kind of you.
Berries in it. And, well, the squirrels can't get it. That's why.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It's in a cage. Otherwise, you know, I put out other food, but I'd have squirrels. And they are not my favorite friends. I'm sorry. But anyway, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and we are here with Dinah Wall, the executive director at the festival at Sandpoint. And we're going to start off with Dino. It is the third weekend in August. And what does the year ahead, just an overview of the year for the festival board, the festival employees, you, and where are we now?
Well, right now we're about halfway in the cycle. There's really kind of two cycles and they overlap each other a little bit. The first cycle is, you know, planning and fundraising. And then the second cycle is really marketing and production and, you know, putting it on and getting people to come. And they overlap a little bit, but really we start planning and fundraising immediately after the festival ends. It takes us a while to put away the festival too. I mean, financially and all of that, and just physically to put it away. The third week in August, we're still, you know, kind of figuring out how we did. And then I head off to my first conference usually at the end of August, beginning of September, starting to look for groups for the next year.
Can you mention briefly about what you mean by going to a conference? When I think of a conference as an academic, I think of people delivering papers and things like this. And there's an exhibition hall with books to look at. What is a conference for someone in your position?
Well, there's three different things that I really get out of the conferences that I go to. And the first one is there is some professional development. There's definitely workshops that you can take on everything from, you know, board staff relationships to fundraising to marketing to contracting and, you know, all that kind of legal stuff, a business, you know. And then there is an exhibit hall, like you mentioned, but instead of books and people there with books, either bands or agents who represent bands, and you can go in and meet them and talk to them. And the other part is showcasing performances. You go and see performances that are like, and at some conference they're like maybe 12 minutes long, you know, and you'll see, you know, a bunch of them in a 3-hour period, you know, so you get an idea of groups too. And then the other thing is also getting together with your peers, and that's a really important part of a conference because there's people like me doing this all over the country and all over the world. And so getting together and saying, okay, what are you doing that's working? And what are you doing that's not working? And how can we help each other? And, you know, you become friends with these folks, especially for me, building the relationships with people that we can, block book these artists with. Like, you know, I have a friend in Billings and in Sun Valley and up in Edmonton and out on the coast. And we say, hey, you know, let's go after, you know, Steve Miller Band or Counting Crows. I'm thinking of some that are pretty expensive. And if we get together a group and we all go in on it and it routes well for that artist, it's a win-win for everybody. So those kind of relationships build through going to some of these regional and national conferences too.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And sounds like more fun than the average conference
to me. It probably is. It is. There is a fun factor too, because we all do love what we do. It isn't always easy, though. You know, I mean, the fun part of the job, you know, there are definitely fun parts of it, but also there's a lot of hard work, too, that goes into it. You know, it has to be operated like a business, and, you know, it takes a lot of fundraising, too, to make it happen, grant writing, too.
How large are these conferences? What is the range of number of attendees and size?
Well, that's interesting because I really go to three, and they're kind of small, medium, and large. The first one is called Arts Northwest. Arts Northwest, and it really concentrates on Idaho, Oregon, and Washington, and some of the states around there, like Montana, a little bit into Canada. Folks come, and that probably maybe 200 people go to that conference. Okay. Then there's Western Arts Alliance, and that's really the western part of the country, and there's probably more like 400. Then the big one that it called APAP, the Association of Performing Arts Presenters, which really I guess is
that's APAP.
APAP. APAP. And that happens in New York every year, and there's like 1,000 people that go to that from all over the world. That's the big one.
Okay, so you're into planning, you're into fundraising, mm-hmm. and now it is February 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
And where should you be?
I should be completely booked. Like the whole season should be booked at this point in time. We should be working on the contracts and kind of starting to advance the shows, which means what kind of technical things do they need and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I should also be kind of wrapping up fundraising or kind of in the middle of fundraising, you know, kind of by April, beginning of May, we should really know who our main sponsors are. Although people keep giving to the festival even right up until the festival happens. Those efforts are kind of starting to, wind up. And then we're kind of kicking into, okay, we're getting ready to announce, we're getting ready to have our wine tasting dinner and auction. And then we're working on marketing and how are we going to get people to come? We're still selling season passes, but that's, we only have about 150 of those left.
Hmm. Excellent. So is that a good place to be at this point of the cycle?
Yes, except for the fact that I don't have the season completely booked this year. It's funny. This year has been one of the latest ones ever. I still have one more day that isn't totally booked. You know, sometimes it's like throwing spaghetti waiting for something to, you know, waiting for it. I mean, the earliest we've ever been booked is one time I had the whole season booked by like the beginning of December. And it was like, wow, that's really early. Normally by the end of January or the middle of January, we have everything done. But, you know, I don't know what it is. I got an email actually from the guy I was talking about in Billings who does a blues festival. And he said, And the heading of the email, this was like 2 days ago, says, nobody wants my money. It's like he's having trouble too. And same with Sun Valley. I don't know if these groups are hanging out longer to make their plans this year, if it's just a strange coincidence, but we're getting there. We're almost there. And we're actually thinking that we might do something a little different this year. Normally, we have announced at Lost in the 50s, which is in mid-May.
Right.
Last year, we announced a couple weeks earlier at the wine auction. We let people at the wine auction at the end of April know. They were the very first ones to know who was coming. But this year, what we might do is announce the two Saturdays. And because those are going to be bigger. They're going to be bigger than normal.
Why is that?
Well, the city, because of the new grandstands, we have 500 more seats in those grandstands. So we can have 500 more people out there. So that gives us the opportunity to go bigger on the artists. But we want to just kind of dip our toe in to see if we can sell that many more tickets. If we bring somebody, bigger than what people are used to, will more people come? Mm-hmm, so we're kind of dipping our toe in that on the two Saturdays to check that out.
Why Saturdays as opposed to Thursdays?
Well, that's a really good question. And we experimented with having a big artist on a Thursday, Smokey Robinson, a few years back.
Right.
And, I think Smokey Robinson on a Friday or Saturday would have sold out. But on Thursday, he didn't. And we think it's really because we can't get people from the people from Spokane and from Canada to come on a Thursday night because, they're not going to spend the night. There's still one more day in the work week. So we really see that Fridays and Saturdays are our biggest nights. And Thursdays, we try to not spend as much on those artists as we do on the ones on Friday and Saturday because we're just not sure we can sell the tickets.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the grandstands. Where are they now? I sort of drove by, but real quickly, and I didn't stop and take a peek at where are they in construction.
It's pretty exciting. They're going up. I mean, people should drive by there on Ontario, and you can also look at it online. The Osprey cam, that's on the Sandpoint online.
Oh, gotcha.
You can look at the Osprey cam. They have it swiveled around and pointed towards the grandstands.
Here we can watch the grandstand.
Exactly, watch it go up. And they're supposed to be done by graduation, which makes us feel good because that gives us some breathing room.
You were going to say you were going to announce the Saturdays when? February 23rd.
We don't get that. Oh my God, I would if I could. That's one of the days that we're still working on right now. But we will. We will announce them. We were talking about that at our last board meeting, and the board thought it was a good idea because we also think that that'll sell out the final season passes too when people know who's coming on those two Saturdays. And the way it's shaping up to look is, it's going to be, two very different kinds of artists too. So, I think a lot of people would be excited when we announce those two.
The bandstands add 500 more seats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I guess, it's hard to ask without asking specifically what bands you're looking at here. But I guess how much of a difference does that really make in terms of what artists you can pursue?
It makes a lot of difference because if you think about 500, and times that times, a $50 ticket or, that's $25,000 more that we can pay. And there's a lot of artists that are in that, $125,000 to $150,000 range that we can't do now, but we could if normally we wouldn't go above 100 for an artist fee.
So what's capacity or what was capacity last year, and what will be the new capacity?
Yeah, the capacity is kind of interesting because we sell 700 season passes, and then we sell 2,100 regular tickets. So that's 2,800. But then we also have all of our sponsors and patrons, which takes us up to about 3,500 capacity. So now we're at 4,000 capacity.
That's a big venue.
That's a big jump. That really is a big jump. Let's back up a second. And I know that previously you've answered this question when you've come on before, but just there might be someone listening. What happens to the tent, the humongous tent that becomes almost the icon of the festival?
It's funny that you ask because I was just talking to Dave Nygren, our production manager, yesterday about the tent because we replaced it. And it's now been 15 years since we replaced it. This, and before that, the tent before that, which looked exactly like it, mm-hmm. was 18 years old. But the problem with the tent that was 18 years old that we had to replace was that it got put away wet one year, and it got moldy. Ouch. And then they tried to clean it with this solution that stripped a lot of the protective stuff off of the material. So we're very careful when we put it away. We take it down, we dry it, and then we put it away. And then we normally have a tent company look at it and reinforce any seams. We have some patches, you know, that we put on it if there's a little hole or this or that. And so we actually think that this tent will last a little while longer, a few more years, and then we'll have to replace it again. And you know, it's not inexpensive.
I was going to say that looks like a real engineering feat, as well as the not only the assembly of it, but the making of it.
Absolutely, yes. And Anchor Industries is who makes them. I think they're from your home state.
Indiana?
I think they're from Indiana. Yeah.
Praise
actually,
be.
Yes,
praise
yes,
be.
Yes. But, you know, one thing that we did last time was the reason we went with the exact same design is so we could use the hardware. We didn't have to replace all the poles
smart,
and stuff.
Smart.
And so just the skin of the tent is probably, you know, $40,000.
Ouch.
Yeah. But it would be double that if you had to replace the hardware and everything.
Yeah. Is it a custom tent? Or if we drive around the country, will we see other tents like that?
You know, I don't know. There are some that are very similar to it, for sure. Even in Telluride, where I came from, mm-hmm. there's one that's sort of like it in the town park, but it's smaller, and it's just kind of over the ice rink there. But, you know, when I flew into DIA, you know, in Denver International, it kind of looks like the festival tent on top of there. I went, hey!
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you think of it, you know, when I go to walk over at the health club, walking up the step, they have all the posters.
Oh, yes.
And how many of the festival posters have used the tent?
That's right.
As the identifiable icon of the festival.
It's true. Even a couple of years ago, there was just a tiny little tent, but you could see it. And it was a little white speck, but it was there.
Well, when you come across the Long Bridge during the first two weekends in August, that's what I look for. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see it right off to the left. Yeah. We're here on 88.5 KRFY with Dinah Wall, Executive Director at the Festival at Sandpoint. This is Jack and Jim in the morning show. Let's take a musical break, and then we'll come back and talk about upcoming events with Dino, particularly an important event in late April. We're going to take a listen to the artist who kicked off the festival last year, and what a performance that was.
That was great.
Bruce Hornsby, and we're going to do a song called On the Western Skyline here on 88.5 KRFY. And after you listen to Bruce, we'll talk some more.
The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show. It's the Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY with Jack and Jim, sitting here with Dinah Wall, the Executive Director of the festival at Sandpoint, and I hold in my hand it's a postcard, not a brochure.
It's an invitation.
It's a save the date.
It's a save the date
save
for the
date.
The wine festival at Sandpoint.
That's right.
Now, how long have you guys been doing this particular event? Do you know?
Well, you know, this will be my 19th year at the festival, mm-hmm. and it was going on when I first came. So I would say more than 20 years they've been doing this. We actually revamped the event last year, And I think we made some really fun changes to it. You know, I mean, there are so many great fundraisers here throughout the year. And sometimes people kind of get, you know, auction fatigue. So we tried to we packaged a lot of the silent auction items into these raffles and we kind of categorized them. And so you could put your raffle tickets into the man raffle. You know, and the man raffle has everything from golfing to beard oil to, you know, beer, you know, whatever. And then you have the spa raffle and then we had like a bike and then, you know, those kinds of things. And people really loved it. And then there was one golden ticket where it's all the dining certificates that we got. And oh. And somebody who got that was just, they were so thrilled. They're still using the certificates a year later. So that's fun. And then we just have a smaller selection of live items, but they're all amazing live items. There's, mm-hmm. I think there's 10 or 12 of them. But the most exciting part of the evening for people is the beginning part because there's unlimited wine tasting of over 150 wines. And you get this really beautiful Riedel wine glass that says the Wine Festival at Sandpoint. And it's a really, really fun event. And it's our major fundraiser that we do every year, and it's out at the fairgrounds. And we change it. You wouldn't recognize the fairgrounds. It's just we change it into this beautiful wine garden, and we have a couple of board members that are very, very good at that. Carrie House and Laura Rains, and they just work their magic. And our whole board really works on this event. They get out there and decorate and gather these wonderful auction items. And we even have like a wine wall where you pay $20. And all the wine is in brown paper bags. And so you pick one out.
Oh, is that clever?
Yeah. And it could be, you know, at least it's going to be a $20 bottle of wine. You know, it's going to be decent. But there are also some really amazing, like $400 bottles of wine in there. Last year, this guy got this bottle of Bionic Frog wine, which is this amazing wine. And he was walking back to his table with it. And he had a puzzled look on his face. And I could tell he didn't know that he was holding like a, you know, $400 bottle of wine in his hand. I chased after him. Don't open that now. Save that for a special occasion. But it's a really wonderful time. And it is on April 28th. It's always the last Friday in April. And it's a great event. And people can find out more by visiting festivalatsandpoint.com. You can buy your tickets now. You can get a reserved table. You can do we have sponsored tables where you get special treats. And the caterer is going to be Dish. Dish at Dover Bay is catering it this year.
That's what caught my eye, mm-hmm. Was the steak and lobster.
Yes. And that's the other thing we did. We really took it up a notch last year and had the steak and lobster. And last year it was Sky's the Limit. And this year, Gary and Eddie out at Dish are going to work their magic.
I just find it amazing how one can get that level of food to all the people out there, and it's just done perfectly.
It's a challenge. It really is. I marvel at that. And I think a lot of these caterers have bought equipment that keeps things warm and at the perfect temperature, but it is not easy.
It's a challenge. Could you say something about the, when you say there's 150 premier wines, where are they all from outside of locally? Where else do you get the wine?
Most of them are from the Northwest. Some from California, okay. but it's really it's wonderful because all of the local distributors participate. Everyone mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. Veers to Odom, Idaho Wine Merchants, you know, and Pondere Winery. We always have Pondere Wine there on all the tables for dinner. Steve and Julie are very generous with this event, but all of the different distributors bring you know, they each distributor, I think there are five of them, bring, you know, probably, you know, 30 different kinds of wines and it's all different types. We have, you know, sparkling wine. We have, you know, red, white. We even have some beer there too for people who don't drink. We
have a little. And do you have any soda pop?
We do. We do. We have non-alcoholic. We do have non-alcoholic offerings as well. And we do have, you know, we put cheese and crackers and things like that out while people are sampling their wines before dinner. But it is, if you love wine, this is now the largest event of its kind in the state, along with the Taste of the Stars that we do out at the festival.
That's
huge too.
Can you say something about if one is interested in getting a ticket or getting a table at the festival at Sandpoint Wine Celebration on Friday, April 28th. How does one do that?
Well, you could call us at 265-4554. 265-4554 is the number for the festival. You can also always come see us. We are there from 9 to 5, Monday through Thursday. And the festival office is a really fun place to visit. It's got a lot of, it has all the artist posters, of course, and it also has all the artist photos. And a lot of them have written kind words to the festival and to Sandpoint. The artists really love to come here, and those are all over the walls. There's musical instruments, there's a piano, there's a drum set. People can sit down and play, and, you know, guitars. And just come by and say hi. And we are right next to the community garden at 525 Pine Street, across from Melody Muffler and Sailor Owens Kerr there. And so come on by and say hi. Or you can always find us on the web at festival@sandpoint.com. And right now, the two things that you can, well, you can do three things online. You can do three things on our website. You can buy a season pass to the festival, that we still have about 150 of those left. And they're going fast. We had 700 and now we only have 150. You can buy a ticket to the wine festival, and you can also make a donation. A lot of people choose to donate online now to the festival.
Okay, and how much is a ticket to the wine festival? We can't say it, but you can.
I can. Okay.
You can.
All right. They are $95. And I think that 45 of that is tax deductible.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. We're here on 88.5 KRFY, Jim and Jack on the Morning Show with Dinah Wall, and that is the Wine Festival at Sandpoint coming up on April 28th, and more information can be found at www.festivalatsandpoint.com. We're going to play another tune and then come back and talk with Dinah about some of the ways that the festival supports the community with some of its programs. And I think that is a very important aspect of the festival.
Absolutely.
One of my, I think, I have to admit, my heart throbs from last summer was Angelique Kidjo.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I mean,
what a great show.
Plus Afrosonic warming her up.
Oh, yes.
But Angelique, I thought, put on an incredible show. And I have queued up Ephirica by Angelique Kidjo. And we'll come back and talk with Dinah Wall, executive director at the festival, about some of the programs that some of the proceeds of the festival help support.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. It's the Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Jim and Jack. Jack and Jim in the studio with you and with Dinah Wall, the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint. We were talking about the wine festival at Sandpoint, and one thing we didn't mention in detail was that there's musical entertainment at this dinner.
Top notch.
That's right. Top notch. I think when this card came out, we didn't know who they were going to be yet, but we are bringing back Still Tipsy and the Hangovers.
Excellent.
And they are so much fun. They are a great group. People loved them last year. And of course, we can't have a festival fundraiser without having music there, because it's all about the music. And at the end of this event, we announce who's coming, and the people in the room get to be the very first people to hear who are coming. So that was a really big hit last year. We'd never done that before, and people stayed till the end. You know how sometimes when you go to auctions, people kind of tend to trail out at the end, but we had a full house at the end because people wanted to know. Yeah, we kind of did the drum roll and put the names and the pictures up on the big screen. So that's another really fun part of this event, is that you get to find out who's coming.
Very cool.
Yeah.
We've been talking about what you guys are doing out in public, and you can get tickets for and all that. But somewhat behind the scenes, you guys are active with all sorts of local organizations, or you are involved in the particularly with kids in the elementary school and the high school.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you're a kid or a parent or a teacher, you're very familiar with what we're doing within the community. But a lot of people who aren't, in those circles may not know that. We're very involved with kids. I was just at the high school yesterday talking to the seniors about our scholarship. We have two scholarships. The first is an instrumental scholarship, and it's $2,500, and it really can give someone a real boost who's planning on going into music in their secondary education. And also, we do partner with the Angels Over Sandpoint, and we have an arts scholarship with them, and it rotates to a different aspect of the arts every year. This year is going to be vocal, and then the other aspects that we've done have been writing. We have visual arts and also theater and dance. So this year it's a vocal scholarship, and that's open to all high school students in Bonner County. And both of those scholarships are can be found online, and they are due on April 10th. So those are scholarships that we do. Then we go into every fifth grade class in Bonner and Boundary County, and we're talking public schools, private schools. We even invite homeschooled kids to participate in this, and we take an ensemble of musicians, and our maestro Gary Sheldon comes in for that, and we perform. We have an ensemble that performs. Excerpts from the upcoming classical and symphonic programs in the summertime. And we do that in the fifth grade because most schools start band in the sixth grade, and we want to get kids, psyched to do that. And we also give every kid that participates in this program free tickets for themselves and their parents or whoever they'd like to bring in their family to come see either the grand finale or the family concert. And those are on the two Sundays of the festival. So the other thing we found out, though, when we were getting these kids all psyched up, was that a lot of them were getting psyched and then they couldn't afford to participate in the band because of the cost of an instrument. So then that was the birth of our instrument assistance program. And at first we were paying for rentals, but then we decided to kind of put it in the hands of the teachers, and we started gathering instruments, reconditioning them, purchasing new instruments, and giving them to the music teachers. And we did a pilot program this year with clarinets in the fifth grade out at Southside. It was a program that Rachel Gordon, a music educator here, started to kind of keep these kids were fidgety during certain times of the day. And she started this this clarinet program out there, which is very, very cool. And then the other thing that we do is the family concert. We have this fabulous family concert every year. It's really, we consider it our gift to the community. It's only $6 to come, and there's all sorts of fun stuff to do. There's, your typical carnival type stuff where they can ride horses. They can, there's a regular petting zoo. There's, face painting and clowns and all that, but there's also a musical, strain to it where we have an instrument petting zoo where kids can, can go and try all these different instruments. And it's run by the charter school, by the Forest Bird Charter School music students. And so they are kind of mentoring these kids and showing them the different instruments that happen. And then we always have a concert there too. And 2 years ago, we started performing this concert with a community orchestra. And we have this community orchestra that's made up from, the youngest person in it was like 8 and the oldest person was in their 80s. And it's just wonderful. And we also have a youth strings orchestra that's absolutely free of charge. It meets twice a week. Anyone can join it. And it's run by Beth Weber. And they perform a couple of times a year as well. And we have cellos that we loan out to kids, and, it's a wonderful strings orchestra.
If one is interested in any of these programs, how does one get information?
They can go to our website at festival@sandpoint.com, and there's a tab that says education on it, and they can also call us. Anybody out there listening to this who thinks, oh yeah, my kid would love to be in that the Sandpoint Youth Strings Orchestra, they can just call us and we'll set them up, and it's 265-4554.
We've talked about the festival and the major artists. Where are we at in terms of the warm-up, the people who perform before the headliners?
We are just starting to look at that. And typically, that's February, March is when I really start looking at the openers, because we really want to tailor them to whoever the main stage act is. And it doesn't mean that that artist is necessarily... their music is like that music, but it would be the audience. We think, okay, if they dig, you know, Angelique Kidjo, they're going to love the Afrosonics. Or if they dig, you know, and they're, you know, Ziggy Marley, they're going to love, you know, the Pimps of Joy Time or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and some artists don't want it to be the same. You know, like I think that Ziggy Marley, for example, says, you know, I'm cool with most everything except no reggae. You know, but he wants world music or something different. But last year, you know, you were mentioning the Afrosonics. That was one that was really tough for me, getting somebody for Angelique Kidjo. And I was looking, and there just wasn't anything that I felt was really a great fit. And then I think I probably told this story on the air before, but I got in a car accident down in Spokane. This guy hit me. And so I had to talk to my progressive agent, and his name was Dio. And so he was just calling me on my cell phone. So we hadn't really talked about what I did for a living or anything, but he called my work number one time and he said, "You run the festival?" He said, "I have a band." And I'm like, "Uh-oh." And I said, "Really?" And I said, he said, "Yeah." And he told me all about his band. I'm going, "Well, send me some links, you know, to your music." And he sent it. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is the perfect Here band for Angelique." I sent it to her people and he was approved. I mean, they love the Afrosonics. They got approved like the same day. So we just crack up about it. I'm like, "I found you by accident. The Afrosonics."
Sometimes that happens that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY with Jim and Jack. And we have been sitting down since 8 o'clock with Dino Wall and doing a bang-up job with the festival for a number of years. And we really appreciate all the hard work you and your staff and board.
Yes.
What all of you have done over the years to bring such excitement, such opportunity, and great musicianship to the community.
Well, we're passionate about what we do. I mean,
it shows.
And we've been there a long time. I think that, you know, Carol and Tone, who work in the office, have been there. This will be, I believe, their 21st year. And same with Dave Nygren, our production manager, and Tamara Verby, who's our bookkeeper. She's been there, I think, 15 years now. This will be my 19th year. And on our board, we have a lot of board members who are so passionate about this, and they bring a lot of different energy and a different talents to the board. And it is really a working board, and they're very passionate about it as well.
Well, when we finally learn the lineup, mm-hmm. Will you come back and we could go over the artists, you know, sometime maybe early summer?
Absolutely. And I think we will focus on the openers too. You know, you had mentioned that to me. And that's really kind of the cool thing about the festival is that oftentimes fans will say, "Wow, I like the opener even better than the headliner." Mm-hmm. And the thing about the openers too that I tell them is bring a ton of CDs with you, because our audience buys the music. They love it and they buy it, and they've been pleasantly surprised. The headliners and the openers have been pleasantly surprised with how passionate our, you know, our festival fans are about music. And when you get a season pass, that happens as well. You know, people say, "Oh, I bought the season pass because I thought I might like a couple of the groups." But then they end up saying, "Oh my gosh, I never would have gone to see like an Angelique Kidjo or, you know, or a Railroad Earth. And oh, that was my favorite of the whole season." So it's kind of cool to turn people on not only to, you know, the music that they love, but the music that they didn't know they love.
That's out there. Mm-hmm. Dino, thank you so much for stopping by the station on this foggy morning.
Yeah, it's kind of cool out there.
Yes, it is.
Indeed.
And we're going to close out with an artist from last summer, and Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals. And we're going to do "When Sex Was Dirty."
Ooh, yeah.
And have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of the Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org.
If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting KRFY.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
This is KRFY. It's the morning show with Jack and Jim. I'm Jack. That's Jim. And we just said good morning, goodbye, so long to Dinah Wall, the executive director of the festival at Sandpoint. Thanks to her for coming in, as always. Good friend of the show, that Dino Wall. I got a little events calendar here in front of me. We've got coming up tonight, in case you haven't heard by now, it is the annual Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness Sip and Shop. The Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness will be sipping wines, enjoying wonderful food from Bistro Rouge, listening to live music featuring John Hastings and the Friends of Scotchman Peaks' own Sandy Compton, plus shopping for unique and lovely housewares during a sip and shop starting at 4 o'clock p.m. in the Pondre Winery, 301 Cedar Street. All are welcome to attend. Every sale goes towards the effort to have the Scotchman Peaks designated wilderness by Congress. Also going on tomorrow night, join Sandpoint's own Cool Cats of Jazz. I'm sorry, not tomorrow night, tonight, also going on tonight, as the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint's Jazz Ensemble grooves through the dinner hour at Trinity at City Beach. The ensemble will play between 5 and 7 p.m. tonight. Make your reservations early. The first 20 diners will receive tickets to Pondere Arts Council's presentation of Rob Verdi's Take 5, playing at 7:30 p.m. in the Panada Theater. Ah, yes, Rob Verdi's Take 5, which is a POAC event as well.
Excellent.
Yeah. So then you make your way over to the Panada Theater from your dinner at Trinity, or you just make your way over there all by yourself to the Panada Theater at 300 North First Avenue to check out part of the Pondere Arts Council's Performing Arts Series. This Rob Verdi has some of the most unusual saxophones ever made, and you can enjoy a tribute to the legendary artists who gave the sax its unique voice in jazz. A local student choir joins the stage with legendary saxophonist Rob Verdi for a night of vaudeville jazz. Go to artinsandpoint.org for more information about that. Tickets are available at the POAC offices, Eve's Leaves, Eichardt's Pub, and Winter Ridge. Online at artinsandpoint.org, also at the Panada box office.
And we want to say that the POAC office is just north of the Panada Theater.
That's right.
On First Avenue in downtown Sandpoint.
Yeah, and everyone's friendly over there. Stop in and say hello. Check out the paintings on the wall, or I don't actually know what's on the wall right now. Paintings or photos.
There's a good reason to go over and stop by.
We better check it out. The Sandpoint Downtown Revitalization Project Public Open House is going on today from 4:30 till 6:30 p.m. This is their second public open house for the Downtown Revitalization Project. It's on the second floor balcony of Columbia Bank at 414 Church Street. The project includes the revision of traffic flow to two-way traffic on most downtown streets and the reconstruction of First Avenue and Cedar Street. For more information, call 263-3407 or visit sandpointstreets.com. I might have to go check that out. I want to see when they're actually going to do it. They were talking last fall, and then the weather got too cold for,
absolutely,
I think, for the paint to stick, and now we're talking about spring. What do you think? How do you think that's going to go?
I think it's going to be
day one.
Well, we all get so used to driving around the streets here in downtown, and when they start changing directions, this happened back in my hometown of South Bend, Indiana, that Michigan Street, the major thoroughfare through town, it used to be two-way, and then sometime in the early 70s, late 60s, they made it one-way, and it's been that way until this past year, and they made it two-way again, and it's so confusing pulling up, and you have to look the other way as well.
I live on one of these one-way streets that's going back to a two-way. And
it's a challenge. It will be. I guess my notion is to everyone, just be a cautious driver, go slowly, and be patient with your fellow driver who might be making a mistake.
Mm-hmm. I see. I'm personally, I think it's a good idea because I still see these streets have been one way for
forever,
decades.
I'm sure if somebody from the Bonner County Historical and History Museum would
tell us
the whole history.
Yeah, but I still see people going the wrong way down that one-way street. No, even big trucks will make that turn, go down the street, and just havoc, mm-hmm. chaos. So it'll be an interesting adjustment period, but perhaps for the best. Anyway, so check if you want more information about that, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Columbia Bank, 414 Church Street. Find out when it's going to happen and what it's going to look like when it does. There's a blood drive going on tomorrow at Bonner General Health. The INBC blood drive from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. in the BGH classroom. Donors can schedule a time to donate by calling, ready for this? Here's the number, 1-800-423-0151 if you'd like to donate blood tomorrow, or by going to inbcsaves.org. You can complete the Fast Track Health History questionnaire online prior to donating by visiting that website. Everyone who presents to donate blood in the month of February is entered to win the Heroes with Hearts package from INBC, which is, I guess, a great big deal. I'm going to give you that number one more time if you are interested. It's 1-800-423-0151 if you want to donate blood. There is lots more going on, which I'll continue talking about.
Yes.
But what did you get up to? What did you do last weekend, Jim? Because that feeds into it.
Well, let me tell you, I want to give a big shout out to Patricia and Becky over at the Panada Theater for bringing in the Oscar-nominated shorts in the category of documentary, animation, and live action. It's an opportunity to see films that normally one would not get a chance to see. And these are filmmakers from all over the world. And I just enjoyed last weekend immensely. And this weekend will be a film I saw last night at the Panada. It's nominated for Best Film, as well as I think Nicole Kidman and Dev Patel are nominated for supporting roles in the film Lion. And it's about a young Indian boy who gets on a train and ends up far away from home, I think in Calcutta, from Hindi to Bengali, and doesn't speak the language. He ends up adopted in Tasmania, and it's his story. And it's quite touching and beautiful, and it's a wonderful film about mother love. And I think it's a movie for the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
It's touching. And so it's going to be on at the Panada this weekend, appropriately the Academy Award weekend on Sunday.
That's right. So Lion gets Jim's thumbs up review.
Mm-hmm. Two thumbs up for Lion. I'm a big fan of that movie as well as of Hidden Figures and, of course, mm-hmm. Moonlight. But notice I didn't say La La Land.
I do notice that, and I can't say I've seen all of your other picks, so I can't say for sure. But well, I have seen La La Land.
Did you like it?
I liked it immensely, yeah. I did, and I know it's getting almost – it got so much praise right when it came out that now there's sort of a backlash and people are like, oh, it's not that great. But I think it was the most – I agree with you that maybe it's not going to win – maybe it shouldn't win Best Picture, shouldn't be nominated for quite so many awards. But it was just the most fun I had in a movie theater in a year. It was just leaving that theater, I was –
yeah,
you're dancing out.
Well, yeah, I have to admit, I'm not a musical person. And musicals don't work as well for me as other things. And so I have not seen Loving yet or Fences. Those are two that are on my list. But my favorite is Moonlight. That is such a touching story, and the way in which it unfolds is just amazing. But Hidden Figures, which we got to see at the Panada, that was wonderful. But Lion is good. It's just good.
We're just about out of time, but I do want to say we've got the dating game Sandpoint Style is coming up tomorrow night at the Panada Theater, the Sandpoint Winter Carnival. Brings with it all forms of entertainment, including the dating game. Two bachelors and two bachelorettes will take the stage to pick a date for dinner and a movie.
What fun.
I know. Yeah. Anyway, that's going on at the Panda tomorrow night. One more thing. Our guests from last week, their history mystery fundraiser is going on this Saturday, the 25th, at the Bonner County Historical Museum. I'm sorry, is the organization presenting their third annual history mystery fundraiser. But it is a vaudeville review held at 6 p.m. in the Ponderay Events Center out at 401 Bonner Mall in Ponderay.
And we want to thank Dinah Wall once again for coming in this morning to talk about the festival at Sandpoint and the upcoming wine festival on Friday, April 28th. And Dinah is going to come back on the 20th of April to talk more about the event as well as to give us a little preview of who some of the artists might be.
Stay tuned for Bird Note, the Not As Eclectic Mix, all day long right here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.